now our pastor, Lane Stockton.
Good to have you all here tonight. We've got good crowd of visitors with us back here. So thank you, visitors, for being with us. We hope you enjoy your time. We will be in the book of Acts. While you're turning there to the book of Acts, we'll be in chapter 3. We've started a series in the book of Acts. The youth choir needs to meet after for practice a little bit after choir. I passed out some of these sheets at the meeting 2 weeks ago, and I've only gotten two back. So I'm not sure if y'all don't have any thoughts or ideas on the food, or you just been holding on to them. If you have them after church, will you just get these to me? I think I'm going to postpone the meeting again tonight because the youth need to practice for their Sunday singing. The popcorn dessert thing is cared for, so that's done. We got the dessert out of the way. We fixed on that. The other one that turned it in said a large pretzel maybe go over well with cheese and nachos. So that was an idea. So think about that. If you haven't turned it in, then this is the food program for the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally. We got time. It's not till next month. But we got to plan for it. So, I like the church to be involved in this. I don't want this just to be something that I just say, well, let's just do it this way. I like your input. Y'all got good ideas, and you're very, very helpful when it comes to that. So, if you got an idea, please give it to me so we can kind of put them together, and then when we have the meeting after Easter, we will talk about it. Brother Judd is working on the skits. Daniel's usually good at coming up with skits too, as well. So maybe they can work together. I think we've got a couple already. So this is important stuff that we can work out. So I'm going to not have the meeting tonight after church with you because the youth need to practice. Brother Jim may need to go a little longer on the choir practice. I don't want him to feel pressured. Sister Lois may want to meet a little bit with the beautiful girlhood. So that, I believe, is a little more important because Easter is this Sunday coming. So remember that. Sunrise service. We got to start inviting your friends and neighbors. Again, that's another tool that opens the door of conversation. To be honest, I've never been in one until here. Sister Fran Bentley came to me and said, Pastor, at our church, we used to have this, and we really enjoyed it. And I'm thinking sunrise in my mind, for some reason, was like 5:13 in the morning. I was thinking, Lord, sister, wow, I have a hard time getting folks here for Sunday school at 10 o'clock. But I told her I'd pray about it, and this is the third year, and I tell you, we've had good turnout. Because sunrise isn't at 5:13 in the morning here. It's about 6:49 coming off the coast, but by the time it comes up over the trees, right here in front of the church, it's 7:18, 7:21, somewhere around in there. So we're right there about to start preaching about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's been a good tool. You remember last year we had the Muslim gentleman come to the service. He wouldn't come in the church, but he came to the service because he was invited to that type of service. It intrigued him. So, Pastor, did he get saved? Did he convert? Water and plant. He heard the gospel. We had other visitors, several other visitors that came strictly for that and then left. So these are just tools that are out there. So let's use them. Help me with this here as well. That'd be a true blessing. All right. Now, I told you to turn to Genesis chapter 3, but I have something in mind that I think may help us a little bit. I know it'll help me. I need a picker. Sophia, will you come pick for me? Now, y'all had to blame little Sophia. if you don't like what she picks. You pick whichever one of those you want and give it to Pastor. That one right there? You sure that one? That one right there? No, they don't want that one. Pick another pick. You sure that one? Let me look at them. Sophia, they got that ugly look on them. They don't want that one either. Pick another one. That one. Okay, that sounds like a good one. All right. Thank you, Sophia. All right, turn with me to Mark 9:29 before we get into the word there. Mark 9:29. Pastor, what are we doing? These are memory verse cards. And I believe this day and age we're not hiding the Word of God in our heart. So, instead of y'all eating Tide Pods, putting saucers on your lips, any other crazy challenge y'all can come up with, ice buckets and waterboarding and everything else y'all get, let's go to Mark 9:29. Mark 9:29. Here is a verse in the Bible that I'm challenging. And Sophia, if they don't like it, just smile at them and say, it's the Word of God. 9:29. Let's read that together. And he said unto them, this kind come forth not by nothing, but by a prayer and fasting. Let's read that again. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. So that's a memory verse. I have these cards that I carry around. I try to read through them and cycle through them and trying to put them to memory, and been a help to me. Somebody want to stand up and read that where you at? Somebody. Brother Bill, you got it there handy? Read it loud so we can all hear.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer, but by prayer and fasting.
How many of you got problems? That's a good verse right there. And sometimes to help with our problems, got to pray and fast. So that's a good verse, okay? Let's read that again together. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let me have a young lady that wants to stand up and read. Help me, a young lady. Somebody help me there. Young lady. Young ladies, anybody that's young at heart. Go ahead, Bentley.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. All right, let's read it again together. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let me have a young man. Let me have a young man that wants to stand up and read. Hey, don't be afraid. Go ahead, Brother Jason.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. All right, let's read that again. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Who's brave enough to say it now by themselves without the Bible? Go ahead, Miss Samantha. Let's read that again together. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Who else wants to stand up and try without the Bible? Let's read it again. Go ahead, Brother Ethan.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.
Wow, Brother Mike. That's a good one, but not this one. Let's read it together. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, we only read that about 10 times, if I've got my math correct there. Two people stood up and said it. We can put Bible to memory. And it's not as hard as the devil makes it seem. Read it out loud to yourself. Read it to each other. Share it out loud. We'll try that again next week and see if we can't get a couple more to hide it in their heart. So tonight, I challenge you, before you go to bed, read it out loud 10 times. And then in the morning when you wake up, say it to yourself in the mirror. And I guarantee you, it'll be hit in your heart. You can do this. We can all do this. All right, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Now, we're going through this verse by verse, and we're down here in verse 15. We kind of went past it last week, but we're going to come back to it and spend a little bit more time with it, because without this promise in Genesis 3:15, the fulfillment of this promise in Genesis 3:15 is John 3:16. That's the fulfillment of this promise. It says here in Genesis 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, of course, this is the Word of God as He speaks to them and gives a promise because of the fall of mankind. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, God gave them a commandment, and it was, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden and to dress and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God gave a commandment back in Genesis chapter 2. Well, of course, last week we looked in Genesis chapter 3, and lo and behold, in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden of the garden. And so here comes the serpent. Of course, this is Satan, and he's disguised himself in the serpent, and he begins to bring doubt into the mind of Eve, and Eve there hanging around, loitering next to that which is forbidden. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to find yourself in trouble, you just hang around that which is forbidden. Nobody can have confidence enough in the flesh to withstand that temptation. And it will overcome you. And you will be taken into bondage by that which is forbidden. There are many things in the Word of God that warns us to stay away from. Not that God's trying to keep something good from us. He's trying to help us because He knows the end result of what you're fixing to do and what's fixing to happen in your life by partaking of that which is forbidden. So she's standing there around it. She should have been off somewhere fooling with tulips or on the other side of the garden. You know, God never said you had to hang around that. That's what God tells us in the New Testament. We're to be simple to the wicked. Don't be hanging around the wicked. He says, matter of fact, He tells us, warns us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He tells us, walk circumspectly. Be careful where you go. Don't be entangled again back in the bondage, because we have been set at liberty by Christ Jesus. And that liberty is freedom to live for Christ, not license to do what we want to do.
Amen.
So don't be hanging around it. It got Eve in a whole bunch of trouble. It got Adam in a whole bunch of trouble. And therefore the fall of man took place by one man's sin. Entered into this world, all have sinned because she decided she wanted to hang around that which was forbidden by God. God said, this one, no. One commandment. She partook of it. And she ate of it. And then all of a sudden, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 9, here is where the compassion and goodness of God is shown forth, and throughout the Word of God, God's method has been the same. He always initiates the return of man to Himself. Always. You understand, God's up in heaven. All this is taking place. In verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam. Wait a minute, Adam didn't call unto God when he ate. He just took and ate. And all of a sudden his eyes was open. He looked over at Eve. He looked at himself. Oh no, we are naked. And wasn't hid in the bushes. Grabbed some fig leaves. Started to put together some type of clothing and hid from God. And the Lord God came, called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? They were afraid. Why were they afraid? That's what sin does for you. That's what sin does for you, for sure. That's why people get themselves in trouble hanging around that which is forbidden and delving off into that which God has told us that we should stay away from. Yeah. And so they get themselves in trouble with that. It's not done out in the open. It's done in the dark of 2:30 in the morning. It's done after work, down you pass by the five point, and man, be nice to watch a little bit of that ball game. When you get into that ball game, before you know it, you're in there and you're partaking of stuff that's going to cause harm to your mind and body, make you not be able to think proper. And when you're under control of alcohol and you can't think proper, guess what? You go and do things that you wouldn't normally do. You lose control of your thinking ability and your discernment. And so, back off and stay away from that stuff before it gets you in trouble. Not just alcohol, dear friend. Let me tell you something. Some of that, these PG-13 movies anymore, dear friend, I don't know what in the world. Be careful. They say it's PG-13, dear friend. I think it's like, maybe my rating system's off. Maybe it's back in the KJV rating system. I don't know. Because some of that stuff ain't PG-13, I tell you. Not at all. Some of the stuff that's rated R. Like they rated unplanned, rated R. Is that crazy? There's some stuff I've seen that should have been rated R for sure. It should have been rated. There's one of them ratings that... I don't work for Paramount, guys. I'm not giving you no... I don't work for Dove.org, but I'm just... We've got to be careful. We let the world label stuff and we go and say, well, the world said. We better say, well, what does God say? That's what's important. What's God say? And he says, be careful, be simple to the wicked, because you get in there and get your mind, and before long, they ease in on us. We're like a little frog in a boiling pot of water, a little bit of pot of water. Put it up there, the frog just sits all still. He's happy, and he says, and it's warming up. Next thing you know, he's boiling. That's how it works with us. We become desensitized to sin and to the wickedness of this world. Before long, we just suck it all in and say, well, they said it was rated R, so it must be pretty good. No, dear friend, you got to watch your mind. Watch your heart. Because what happens is we end up hiding. We end up getting some fig leaves. We end up covering. And it's not enough covering. It's not enough. And the clothing that God came down, where art thou? Verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Never before been afraid of God. That's what sin does, dear friend. That's what sin does. You get involved in sin. You don't want to be around the house of God. You don't want to see how great thou art. You can't, because your heart's convicted you. Let me pause here just for a minute. I've been really trying to grasp this thought. I don't know how to convey it. I talked to the teenagers about it. You know, this thought of shame and guilt. Shame and guilt, okay? Go back over here. Not shame and guilt. Shame and conviction. Because shame and guilt, I think, kind of go hand in hand. But shame and conviction is quite different in my heart and mind. Okay? Back over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. Listen to what the Bible says. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Were not ashamed. Now over in our text, over here where we're reading in Genesis chapter 3, so they're over there and they're not ashamed. Then all of a sudden they partake of this fruit, they eat of this here fruit, and all of a sudden they're afraid and they're ashamed. They begin to try to cover themselves. They said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. For sure, sin brings shame. It does bring shame, for sure. But I don't think that is the end game. I don't think that's what God wants. I think that's Satan. Satan wants you to be ashamed. I believe God wants you to be convicted of that so that you want Him to change you. When we are ashamed, we do like Adam and Eve. We try to change the situation. We try to cover it. And we understand that it wasn't enough. Because when God came down and He began to talk with them, and He began to spend, deal with their situation, where art you? Where art thou, Adam? He wants him to know where he's at. God knew where he was at. And He began to deal with them where they were at. And as He did that, the Spirit of God always would bring conviction in our heart if we will be sensitive enough to listen to the Spirit of God. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that in John chapter 16, if you look over there, John chapter 16 and verse 7. Down through verse 11. John 16 verse 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit of God will bring conviction into our life over sin, whereas Satan wants us to be shamed, because when we are ashamed of our sin, we hide from God. And therefore, when we're hiding from God, we are trying to manufacture our own fig leaves. We're trying to get our own little fig leaves, cover this up, cover that up, hide this and hide that. Be sure, dear friend, your sin will find you out. Be sure. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that everything we do, I think it's verse 13, I'm not positive about that, but everything we do is open to the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. God's not blinded, dear friend, because we decide to go off into sin. He sees it. But God, in His compassion and love, instigates and initiates, and He comes looking. Well, how do you know that? Luke chapter 15, with the lost sheep, he puts the 99. Hey, get up in there. Get up in there. Stay in there. Locks the 99, and what does He do? He comes seeking. for the one that is lost and brings them back in. And when he gets them back in, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing. You understand something in this chapter. Adam and Eve, dear friend, were the only two on this earth at this point, and they failed. Do you understand something? God could have stayed up in heaven. He could have said, man, alive, what is going on with mankind? I give him all that, and I create everything there. I let him name all this stuff. He was lonely. I gave him a woman. He can enjoy a relationship, a husband and wife. And look what happened. I give him all that. He took that. Guess what would have happened? Eventually, Adam and Eve would have died. And that would have been it. Well, how do you know they would die? Because that is the result of sin. Thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. There would be a separation from it. There was more than the physical death. The separation came. Now there was no more walking in the cool of the day and talking to God face to face. There was no more enjoying fellowship with God. No more at all, because at the end of this chapter, God evicts them from the Garden of Eden. And He places a flaming sword as a witness against them. They could no longer turn. That means their sin had brought them apart, caused a point where they had lost the ability to be access to the tree of knowledge of life. And they had all lost access to Eden, and it was a witness to them. But God didn't leave them helpless. He didn't leave them helpless at all. God could have just stayed in heaven and said, well, the natural result of sin is death. Genesis chapter 5 is full of death. They live, they die. They live, they die. They live, they die. Well, Pastor, they died at 925 years old. They died at 925 years, and without God initiating, they would have went to hell, dear friend. They were a living soul at that point, and hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. But God loved man and mankind and loved Adam and Eve enough that God came down even knowing they had fallen. God initiates that. God initiated the Lamb. He sent His only begotten Son. It wasn't like we were running around down here on earth with a petition, you know, hey, Mr. Dick, will you sign this petition? We need to get it to God so He'll send a Savior. We didn't have, there was not enough petitions to get God down here. God loved us enough that He initiated it. Help me out again, Pastor. For God loved us first, and then we second. Because He first loved us, then we loved Him. God always. The Bible talks about in Romans that God was in Christ reconciling us back to Himself. God always initiates it. Matter of fact, the Bible is so plain about this. If you'll go to Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. Revelation 13 and verse number 8. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the Lamb's written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Well, I'm sorry, dear friend. There had been many years past before Christ hung on the cross of Calvary. But before the foundations, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the foundation. Before then, God said, I'm going to create this human. I'm going to create Adam. And he is going to deliberately choose to disobey. And here's the plan. Genesis 3:15, here's the plan. He revealed it to man. He allowed Adam and Eve to know that there would be a redemption story that would take place. In Galatians chapter 4, if you would, Galatians chapter 4, and verse number 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hold yourself there and go back to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It'd be a promise of a redeemer, and it would come from the seed of the woman. Where is that? Isaiah 7:14. And a virgin shall conceive. There's the promise. See, Adam was deliberately deceived. And there's the promise. Eve was beguiled. Eve was tricked. And so there, God said, from that point, Genesis 3:15, we're looking forward. And we're looking for that Redeemer that would be coming from the seed of a woman. We know how it takes place. See the woman, see the man come together, baby. Heartbeat, womb in the womb, I know thee. But God said, it can't work that way because sin passes through the bloodline of the man and down through the man. So for one man's sin, every child that was born after that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why it was a virgin birth. Because Genesis 3, verse 15, the promise of the Redeemer, the promise that God would send forth the Savior, that He would be bruised, His heel. Look at Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. You have the prophecy here written by the psalmist. Psalms chapter 22. You have David as he wrote here. These words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And guess who said that? Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Verse 10, I was cast upon them, upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. Round they gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And he said, I thirst, I thirst! And thou hast brought me into this dust of my feet, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me from the beating that he took, that his bones was exposed. In verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is a prophecy of our Lord and Savior. Amen. This is a prophecy of what would take place and how it would be. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquity. His heel shall be bruised. He was bruised from the seed of a woman. The redemption story started all. Listen, the story of Easter, we have this here story of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, dear friend. It started way back from the foundation of the world. In Genesis 3:15, God said, this is how it's got to be. And the fulfillment of that prophecy was John 3:16, and Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Lamb of God. God always initiates it. Listen, God furnished the animal there in the garden, did he not? Where y'all at? We hid ourselves because we were naked. Come on out here. Here comes Adam and Eve, and what in the world? Who told y'all was naked? What's that? Well, we made these fig leaves to cover ourselves. Not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness. This was a work of righteousness to take these fig leaves and try to cover. God stripped them of that. And guess what he made of? Coats of skin. Shed blood by the remission of by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shedding of the blood, there's remission of sin. Now, from the very beginning, it was a picture that there had to be a redemption story and the shedding of the blood, and that the works of righteousness, the covering of little fig leaves was not enough. He gave them a coat. Now, I know there's some strange people in this world that wear their coat and then put their t-shirt over it and put their pants over it. But a coat in the beginning was the outermost garment. The coat, the redeeming blood. Nothing they could do. Nothing they could do under it took the complete covering of a coat. Nothing you can do different. Nothing. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not worthless. Any measure. Not that your fig leaves is better than her fig leaves or his fig leaves better. No works of righteousness. The redemption story. The remedy for fallen man was the Lamb of God. Remember what John said in John chapter 1? Behold, the Lamb of God. Not enough. Keeping the law, not enough. They only had one commandment and they couldn't keep it. Dear friend, some of us think there's only 10. There's way more than 10 if you study out the Word of God. But we fall short of keeping the 10. Way short of keeping the 10. This is not by works of righteousness. God furnished the animal. He killed the animal. Look at this, what it says in Acts real quick. I'm going to hurry up here and get done. Acts chapter 2. I know the choir needs to practice, but this is some real good stuff here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 23. They thought that they had accomplished something great when they took the Lord and killed him. Look what it says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Actually, back up to 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. Who did the miracles? God. God did this in the midst through Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. God is Jesus. It says, God did it by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the termination of the council. And listen to what it says. And the foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and ye have by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be whole of it. Why was it not possible? Because he is life. He is life. The redemption story. Listen. They didn't come there with their own power and might. God already knew they were coming. By the foreknowledge. God knew. Why? Revelation 13:8. From the foundation of the world, this is how it should be. This is how it's going to happen. This is what must take place. You understand, dear friend, the only remedy for man after the fall was that a perfect lamb would be slain. The only remedy that was there was that a perfect lamb. That's why he could say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because it was God's plan from the very beginning. Oh, God don't love me. You need to hide Revelation 13:8, dear friend. Before creation ever took place, he knew he'd have to send his son. Oh, he loves us. Oh, he loves us. His compassion faileth not. His love faileth not. As you look at this and you study it and you see way back even in the book of Genesis, this is kind of, When I get the mullet grubs, you know, and I get that Jonah, you know, mindset in my mind, and I, oh, God, why don't you just kill them? I know, God, you call me to preach, and I'm the pastor, and Lord, I studied, God, and I preached, but, and then you see people get right. Instead of rejoicing, go to my office. I've been better. You just had, you know, struck them with lightning. All they're going to do is 6 months, 6, 7 years down the road, they're going to aggravate me again, God. I get that Jonah mentality. Then I begin to think, how merciful God's been with me. How merciful. Y'all mind if I chase a little bitty rabbit right now? I know you didn't. Thank you. Y'all are such gracious church members. Appreciate it very much. This morning, we're going through the prodigal son in our Sunday school class. And as we go through the prodigal son, something that has been running and running in my mind is this. And here's a good thought. When people get backslidden, you know, that's a picture of the prodigal son. He got backslidden. He was a child of the father. So he was saved. In the picture, it represents you and I, saved folks. How many of y'all know saved folks can get backslidden? How many of you are backslidden right now? Well, I just don't know how to pray. I'm your pastor. How many of you ever been backslidden? I think we can all say we can have. Well, what's the natural thought and process when a backsliding brother or sister comes back into the house of God? What's our natural human process? Don't be over spiritual with me. What's the natural process? What do we say? Wonder where they've been. I wonder how long they're going to hang around. Wonder if they're going to fall back to sin. You know what we start to act like? The elder brother. The elder brother stood aside. Hey, where are you going? The master said, go get a calf. We're fixing to kill that thing. We're fixing to have a party around here. What did their brother say? Oh, that's mine. What did we say? Lord, I've been faithful. I hadn't left. I'm not backslidden. I've been right here in the house of God. Wait a minute. In the beginning of Luke 15, the story of there's several parables there, and one of them is the parable of the 99. And there'll be great rejoicing. The other one's the parable of the coin. And the woman searched. She found it, and there was rejoicing. Why don't we train our hearts and mind that when a backslider comes, why don't we rejoice that they're back here just for a little bit? Maybe God can do something in their heart. Instead of being the elder son, with our nose looking at them, waiting for the next time they fall. That's how we get. God could have been that same way in Genesis. He could have just stayed in heaven, let Adam and Eve just die off. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. It'd have been one day and Adam and Eve would have died. He'd come back there and stir the dust back up. Come on up, Steve. Adam named all these things, but you know, if you don't like that being a dog, what you want to call it? Oh, that's a cat, God. He could have did what he could have did it. God is God. But God came down to commune with sinners. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to wrap his arms around us and protect us and watch over us. He wants to sit our feet on a solid ground. He wants to guide us by day and by night. How do you know? Pillar by fire by day and fire and cloud by night. Cloud by day and fire by night. That's a picture of how God wants to be with us day and night. He wants to commune with us. So when that lost person, that backslidden Christian comes in, dear friend, don't be the first one to step back. I mean, do like the prodigal son's father. Go put your arm around them and tell them, good to see you. We're glad you're back. And hope that, is there anything that we can do for you? Put a robe and shoes and a kiss and a ring. Now, You don't have to get all undressed in here and give them all your clothes, but reach out to them. Don't stand back. Ah, Brother Vernon, old John's here, but let's give him 2 weeks. He'll be gone. With that attitude, he'll probably be gone in 3 days. Right, Brother Chase? Probably won't come back to the next service. Reach out to them. Because if they're saved, that is your brother and sister in Christ, and only by the grace of God. Listen, one deep breath and 2 steps, and we can be in the same mess. Father, I love you. Thank you so much for Genesis. God, I pray as we study and look through the book of Genesis, God, would hide the word in our heart, would look at it, would learn from it. We just pray, God, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jim, lead us in the song of invitation. We're going to tarry. We're not going to tarry long. But perhaps the redemption story just woke a nerve up in your heart. You want to come down and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me.